My dear friends, today is the third Sunday after Easter. The epistle is taken from St. Peter's epistle, first epistle, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by the good works which they shall behold in you, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be for the king as excelling or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not as making liberty a cloak for malice, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father'?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith, 'A little while'? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear people, the Pope Innocent IX ruled the Church for only 60 days. During his extremely short pontificate, though, he was visited by his very close friend, Father Claudius Acquaviva, who is the Superior General of the Jesuit Order. In the course of their visit, the Holy Father brought Father Acquaviva into a special room that he had made into a beautiful shrine there in the Vatican Palace. The Pope pointed to a chest in the center of the room and asked his guest what he thought it contained. Father Acquaviva replied that since it was surrounded by so many flowers and candles, it must contain some very precious relics. Well, the Pope opened the box, and to Father Acquaviva's amazement, he saw that it was a coffin containing a real likeness of the Holy Father himself. The Holy Father explained to his guest that as head of the Church, it was often necessary for him to make very weighty decisions. These decisions were sometimes made even more difficult because there were people who would try to persuade the Pope through their influence, through gifts, money, and other arguments. So Pope Innocent IX concluded by telling the Father General of the Jesuits, "Before I decide any important question, I come into this room and I look at my likeness in the coffin." The Holy Father continued, "I say, Innocent, one day you will be dead. And when you lie in your coffin like this, what will you wish you had done?" He finished by stating, "I act according to the decisions made here at my casket." My dear friends, although he had such a short pontificate, we know that Pope Innocent IX was very prudent in his decisions. Even as an archbishop, He was the one who had formed the alliance of the Papal States with Spain and Venice, which alliance brought us the glorious victory of the Christians over the Turks at Lepanto. Now, my dear friends, through his death and his glorious resurrection, our divine Savior opened for us the gates of heaven, even as he closed the gates of hell for all those who would be his true followers. And although he most certainly did vanquish Lucifer, sin, and death, nevertheless, our Lord left it in our power to decide whether or not we are going to take advantage of this victory. In other words, the gates of heaven are open to us, but we must be the ones who choose whether we are going to do good or avoid evil, whether we are going to enter those open gates or have them shut fast to us. In today's society, this decision confronts us almost every day. Each and every one of us here has to decide whether or not we will follow the advice of St. Peter in today's epistle. Will we live as strangers and pilgrims on this earth and thus abstain from the desires and the sins of the world? Or will we choose to do the things of the world, to follow their joys and their entertainments, and therefore forfeit our heavenly joy, which, as our Lord promised in the gospel today, that no one would take from us? Well, to help us realize the importance of this decision, which, as I mentioned, we have to make so often, and to help us abstain from the sinful pleasures of earth, mind you, I'm not talking about the pleasures that are okay and the pleasures that we can have, such as the love of family, the love of friends, things of that nature, but to help us avoid the things that are sinful here on earth, it helps us to remind ourselves what is exactly in the balance. At the end of this world, each and every person will either go to heaven or will go to hell. Now, volumes have been written on the pains and the sufferings of hell. But let us just consider three of the pains: the sounds, the stench, and the immobility that will eternally punish condemned souls. For all eternity, the souls in hell will be ceaselessly tormented by shrieks, groans, wailings, and blasphemies. St. Alphonsus relates that men know what a trial it is to fall exhausted into bed and yet be unable to sleep because of a barking dog or an infant's cries. But none of us, he said, can imagine what it will be like to endure the pain in our ears if one goes to hell. Nor would we ever be able to realize in this life the staggering stench that arises from the corrupting bodies and souls. You know, St. Bonaventure actually said that if a body of one of the condemned was to be placed anywhere on earth, the stench from that one body returned back from hell would be enough to cause the death of all other men. And we know that the tormented souls can never flee from such pains, but what we may not realize is that in addition to being unable to leave hell, they are even unable to change their position for all eternity. Whatever position one lands in hell, that is that where they will remain forever and ever and ever. For all eternity, these wretched souls will be fixed in a position where the worst pain of all will be to know that of their own free will, they forfeited the sight of God for all eternity. Truly then, my dear friends, hell is not the laughing matter that so many jokes, TV shows, and comedians make it out to be today. Nor is heaven a state of dull inactivity that the world would have us believe. It was reported of Thomas Edison that he came out of a 2-day coma towards the end of his life, and he told the doctors, "It is very beautiful over there," and then passed away. Although we do not know for certain whether he was referring to the beauty of heaven, we know for certain, though, that heaven is a most beautiful paradise. Imagine what it must be like for the souls there right now to hear our Blessed Mother herself offering prayers of praise and homage to her Almighty Son, offering words of encouragement and congratulation to the souls who have fought the good fight and now are enjoying the peace of heaven. Thanks to St. Francis of Assisi, we know that the music and the singing in heaven will be more glorious than anything we've ever experienced here on earth. For the holy saint once heard one single stroke from the violin of an angel, and according to St. Alphonsus, he almost died from pure joy at that sound. Imagine a place where everything that your eyes rest upon, everything that you hear, everything that you sense will be the most beautiful and the most pleasing to you yourself. Oftentimes, people have different tastes in art. People have different tastes in what makes them happy. But in heaven, what makes you yourself specifically happy will be there to the greatest degree that you can enjoy it. Truly did St. Paul, who himself was taken up to the third heaven, say, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what treasures God has laid up for them who love him." And the greatest and the most pleasing gift that we will enjoy for all eternity will be to see our good God face to face and be able to love him throughout eternity. In other words, my dear friends, anything and everything that makes us happy and fills our heart and soul with peace and contentment will be in heaven. On the other hand, everything that could possibly make us miserable, everything that we detest to the greatest degree, will be the lot of us if we have the misfortune, the infinite misfortune of falling into hell. Let us consider then these two eternal states as Pope Innocent IX did. Let the terrors and the misery of hell urge us to always avoid the possibility of even going there, even as we remind ourselves that the self-denial and the trials that this will incur will gain for us the eternal reward of heaven. And to do this, my dear friends, simply follow St. Peter's advice from today's epistle. The first pope exhorts us to live honorably and obedient to the laws of God and the just laws of men. He also reminds us to say that we are just travelers and strangers in this land. Earth is not our home, nor will we be here for all eternity. Millions upon millions of years will elapse, and eternity will be just beginning. And yet how few of us will even see our 90th or our 100th birthday. Let us then, as true strangers on this very short journey when all is considered, let us abstain from sin in its occasion, so that one day with our Blessed Mother and the saints of heaven, we may enjoy that promised reward of our Savior, a true and perfect reward which no man shall take from us. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.